Hello and welcome to another blood-drenched noir homage episode of Dave Wright's podcast. I'm your host, Dave Wright. Each week here, I like to share one of my short stories. As always, at the end of the episode, I will talk a bit about the story, where it came from, how it came together, or anything else that comes to mind. So if you're interested, then stick around at the end. For now, let's get into the first episode of my short stories podcast, Season 2. This one is a vignette from the backstory of two characters from my novel, Soul. It's of the Barley Boys, Bren and Kanan. Bren, Kanan. The boys stared at each other as the Boilermakers were dropped between them. They both slammed the whiskey and held up two fingers for another. The young man who was waiting tables had not even turned around. He knew the boys and their drinking habits. The young man gathered up the two shots and headed back to get replacements. "Not dead yet then, Bren?" Kanan asked, his bushy eyebrows wiggling like they were trying to join in on the drinking. Bren set the pint back down and wiped the foam off his mustache. Though they had parted ways a long time ago, yet there were still mirrors of each other, complete with button-down vests and flat caps. The sound of the bar was getting a bit raucous. The two musicians near the fire were trying their level best to be heard over the din. They were trying to play a more melancholic vibe while the crowd just wanted to get drunk. Kanan felt a pull at his soul and shot a glare at Bren. "None of that shit, brother. We agreed." Bren smiled a lopsided grin. "My bad. Old habits." They both took another drink and waited as their whiskey dropped on the table again. They both reached out and swirled their glasses before taking a sip. The first was to set the mood, the second was to savor. "All right, Kanan. I assume this is about our dead friends," Bren remarked. They both knew what this was about. The thing that had been keeping them both awake and scared for the past few days. Nothing like knowing you were the next target for a super to really focus your mind. "Bren, we've had our differences. God knows we've not been the best of brothers, let alone friends. But everyone else is dead, and you know what Perseus is after." Bren nodded. "Us." Kanan grunted in agreement. "Have you found anything about him?" Bren hesitated. "Look, Kanan, I know we have a truce right now. Does not mean we're working together." "God damn it, Bren!" Kanan burst out, his eyebrows flaring. "Look, we're fucked. He's a super, he took out the whole crew, and he knows about us. We have to work together, or we're dead." Bren grimaced and took another sip. "Fine, you're right. I know that. Don't have to like it, though." Kanan nodded. "I'll go first, although I've not found out much. It's hard to go hunting for info when you're scared enough to shit yourself. I know that we're not the first gang he's wiped out. He seems to be hunting any group that might have a super. Not sure why he's targeting the hard ones. Also, since he's taken out the gangs, Levi and Manticore have turned a blind eye." Bren chimed in. "Those fuckers wouldn't move for anything that doesn't touch their precious bottom line." "Agreed. Doesn't help us, though," Kanan continued. "Look, if we're working together, I've got to admit, I have no support network now the boys are gone. I'm fairly sure you're the same." Swirling the whiskey in the glass, Bren gave a simple tilt of the head. They sat there in relative silence, the crowd around them getting more rowdy, and the musicians seemed to have given in and were playing a much more upbeat number. The boys played with their glasses in front of them. "We're gonna die, right?" Bren finally muttered. Kanan took a moment before agreeing. "Unless you've been holding out on a different super I don't know about. Yeah, we're proper fucked." Bren's lopsided grin came back. "Let's at least go out the same way we came in, kicking and screaming." The alley had that smell of shit, desperation and despair. It's the same the world over. The brickwork crowded in and added to the feeling of being trapped. Perseus stood there, leaning against the wall, his sword hanging from his hip, a smoke from his lips. Not a care in the world. The brothers melted out of the shadows. Bren in front, Kanan behind. They had both quietly put the word out about town that now they had lost their crew, that they were moving on to a new patch, hoping to draw out Perseus into a fight on their home ground. They both knew that their super, while impressive for brawling against street toughs, was nothing compared to a full-blown super. It was cute that they could draw on each other's strength and agility, yet it meant the other was left weakened. They were both ready to die, but it would be on their own terms. Speaking around his smoke, Perseus nodded to them.
"Boys, glad you made the time to see me."
Both of them tried to not shake, the adrenaline coursing through their bodies, making it almost impossible.
"Aye, mate. We thought we'd give you the chance to give your apologies and go on your way."
Bren spoke first, the false bravado shivering around his words. Perseus slowly rolled the cigar from one side of his mouth to the other before replying.
"I like your take, my man. Sadly, will not be happening today."
He had not even gone for his sword, Kanan saw. He was flanked in a damp, dark alley, and he was simply standing there. What the hell kind of super was he? Neither of the boys had managed to find out. They had found his trail of bodies, but not much beyond that. Bren grimaced.
"Oh, don't like this bullshit. Where we come from, you don't hang about and have a chat. You just up and twat the guy."
Bren had barely shifted his weight forward, ready to launch himself at Perseus, when Kanan saw the man's hand flicker down to his sword, draw it, and throw it with such speed he could barely follow. Kanan let himself open up, and he felt Bren panic and draw hungrily from Kanan. Kanan felt his awareness dim, his muscles going limp and lifeless. With Bren drawing so much from him, Kanan could barely keep himself standing in the fetid alley. Bren drew deep. In an instant, his awareness expanded, time seemed to slow down. Even in this state, though, Perseus was still moving fast towards him, trailing the sword that was gliding through the air, straight at him. Bren felt a grin coming on. Perseus didn't know what their super was, or he would have changed target for Kanan, defenseless as he is right now. With the increased speed and strength, Bren was able to slide his head out of the way of the sword as it ripped past and met Perseus' attack full on. Bren did not try to block the strike, he took the fist directly to his stomach, allowing him to complete his own swing. Bren had grown up on the streets, grown up with the gangs. He had no formal training in fighting, but he knew how to punch a man and keep him down. With the added strength from Kanan, his fist exploded towards Perseus like a hammer of God. It caught him directly on the cheek and continued. Bren felt the bone break beneath his fist, and for a moment, he thought they might actually win. Perseus let the force carry him off his feet backwards and twisted in the air, bringing his own left fist crashing down towards the weakened Kanan. It was Kanan's turn to draw. He pulled at Bren like a dying man. Power flooded his body. The sudden rush of senses and light was disorientating. He tried to bring his guard up, but even with the added speed, he was still too slow, and felt Perseus's fist crush down on his shoulder, the time dilation gleefully allowing him to experience in excruciating detail, his own shoulder dislocating, almost ripping from his torso. At the same time, Kanan saw Bren falter. Without the added strength from Kanan, that body blow he took returned to cash its check, and by God, it was a greedy bitch. Kanan could not watch his brother struggle to stay upright, as in front of him was a whirling dervish of pain. The blows coming so fast he could barely keep up, and with an arm completely out of commission, he was having to draw on his old habit from having an abusive dickhead for a dad. Kanan was rolling with the blows, taking them to the body and protecting the head, keep moving, sap the strength of the blows. He was a young man at home all of a sudden, the impotent rage filling his mouth and tasting like coins. He spat at Perseus and saw his blood splatter the man's face. Kanan took a moment to try and get some space and check on his brother, and saw the tip of the sword sink into his brother's shoulder.
the shocked look on his face slowly coming together as he fell. Kanan almost faltered himself, almost released his powers back to Bren, but Kanan knew deep in his bones he needed to finish this now. Perseus not only had the whole package of speed and strength, but he could bloody well control his sword with his mind. Not fair. Bren was trying to claw his own abilities back, so he knew as well. Kanan struggled to fight his brother off, to draw everything he could, and saw the sword retreat from Bren's body. It flipped over Bren's shoulder, dripping blood, and was now flying towards Kanan. In an instant, Kanan could no longer see it, as it was behind Perseus, who was throwing fists at him almost too fast to see. Keep rolling. Take it. He was a young man again, his father beating on him for whatever slight had gotten into him that day. The punches kept coming. His father would not get tired. He was a blacksmith who beat metal all day. A young body was nothing. Wait. 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 Perseus slid smoothly out of the way, slightly off center as the sword flew past him, straight at Kanan. Perseus was readying himself for Kanan to try and dodge the sword. Bastard. He thought he had them. Kanan saw Perseus's eyes widen as Kanan stepped directly towards Perseus and took the sword clean through him, repeating what he'd learned all those years ago. What his brother had tried to pull off earlier, but had stupidly not drawn everything he could from Kanan. Bren had left him enough to function. Kanan would not make the same mistake. He drew deeper and deeper. Kanan felt the sword slide in under the rib. Time was slowing, every agonizing moment flaring in him like a flower of pain as the sword continued, grinding against the bone. His back foot pivoting, pushing against the ground, cracking the stone he was on, twisting his body and hip following. The sword continued through his internal organs and he felt it break out the back. Kanan's left fist was an extension of his whole body, drifting towards Perseus's side, moving with the inexorability of a planet. Perseus was ever so slightly off balance and not able to recover in time, unable to think that someone would be so goddamn stupid to accept a sword to the ribs. Bren and Kanan were that kind of stupid. They had learned from the best. Kanan's fist connected, and it didn't stop. It kept pushing. He felt the ribs fold and snap like a cheap table. It kept going, the internal organs being punctured by the shards of the ribs in his fist. It kept going. His whole fist was in Perseus now, blood beginning to slowly pour over his arm. It kept going. Perseus was trying to pull away, but like digging a grave by hand, it seemed to last forever. The organs crushed and pushed out of the way of the continuing fist. Kanan felt the resistance finally as he was elbow deep in the man's guts, pushing against his spine. It kept going. Exploding out the back of the man and spraying blood and ichor against the wall of the alley, adding to the patina of filth already covering it. Time snapped back to normal speed as Kanan released his hold on Bren's ability. With a wordless groan, he slumped to his knees, the sword in his guts and his arm in the dead Perseus, the only things keeping him from face-planting onto the alley. How long he knelt there, his forehead resting against Perseus, Kanan did not know. He did know how long it took to remove the sword from his guts, as he felt every second of it in the kind of detail that will keep him awake at night. Much worse was the sucking feeling of removing his gore-covered arm from inside another man's body. That would not keep him awake. That'll keep him in nightmares for many months to come. Bren stumbled over to Kanan and collapsed next to him.
Remind me to never shake hands with you again.
Bren said with a grin and promptly vomited his whiskey over the cobbles. Switching their strength back and forth, they managed to get to one of their old gang's safe houses. Riding the ragged edge of death, Bren allowed Kanan to use his abilities to get out of the danger zone of a sword through the stomach. Kanan then spent the better part of a week lying in darkness and unable to move as Bren borrowed it all back. They both agreed to never again try and tussle with supers. That was Bren and Kanan. I first wrote this short story when I was trying to get a handle on the Barley Boys for my novel. I have lots of different ways of trying to bring my characters to life in my own mind.
For example, I can write up a D&D character sheet, or I can write a pivotal moment in their lives. Anything to try and flesh them out and make them real to me, not simply a dispensary of plot. For the Barley Boys, I did their character sheets first, but I still couldn't get the shape of them in my head. They still felt like Dungeons & Dragons NPCs to me. All, hail hero, here's your next quest, onward ho, etc. So I knew I had to really think about and explore their super. That was how I was going to bring them out to me. Their super was actually based on an idea for a novel that I'd started writing a long time ago. In the novel, the Barley Boy's super was the major form of magic, and people could be joined into an agreement where everyone in the agreement would gain the same ability of lending and borrowing strength. In my novel, there were many different approaches, like one group would be a massive group that would function like the Barley Boys, borrowing and lending as needed in combat, they would all be on the same page. Others would form a snake-like approach, each person passing their strengths forward until the last person, the head of the snake, would be in possession of godlike powers, and if somehow they were killed, the next person in the chain would then take their place. I had only just begun working in this space when I told a friend about it and he said, Dave, I think you copied that idea. That was done in this book series. And I realized, oh shit, I had read that series and forgotten about it. I had straight nicked the idea. I tried to see if I was able to bring anything original to the table, but had to move on. The core magic was a direct copy. Boo. When working on the Barley Boys, I figured out their super and it fit. Then I realized I was using the same idea, but hey, this time it felt like mine, so I was happy to keep it. I knew I had to see them in action though, so that's where this short story came from. The boys were not going to get into a dust-up with Sol, and I really wanted to write a fight scene with these powers. I love writing their sense of humor, and coupled with the incredible violence, I think it worked really well. I hope you all enjoyed seeing it. Well, that's all for this week. Don't forget, I have a Patreon up if you want to throw some support my way. You can find the details on my website, davewrights.com. That's Dave, WRIGHTS.com. Hopefully, I'll see you all next week. Take care.